Welcome to the Richmond Sherm Voices podcast brought to you by Paycor, stress-free software built to help HR leaders recruit, manage, pay, and develop their people. The Richmond Sherm Voices podcast is the voice and pulse of the Richmond, Virginia HR community with your host, Tiffany Fortune. Subscribe to the Richmond Sherm Voices on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you like to listen. Download episodes at richmondsherm.org. We are excited to introduce Kelly O'Keefe. Kelly O'Keefe is a respected brand strategist known for his leadership in corporate brand strategy. He is formerly a professor and chair of the Creative Brand Management Program at the VCU Brand Center, a master's program for advertising, branding, and creative problem solving at Virginia Commonwealth University School of Business. He's an inductee in the Virginia Communications Hall of Fame, a former Richmond Ad Person of the Year, as well as Virginia Entrepreneur of the Year. And he has been a strategic brand advisor to corporate clients like Capital One, CarMax, GE, ESPN, Walmart, Dominion Energy, UPS, and many other leading organizations. O'Keefe's commentary on brands and creativity has been featured in dozens of media outlets, including CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, PBS, The New York Times, The Wall Street Journal, Fast Company, Huffington Post, Time, and The Washington Post. What an honor we have, Richmond Sherm. We have this opportunity to speak today with Kelly O'Keefe. Kelly, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tiffany. I'm so glad to be here today.
Well, we're really excited because we're going to be talking about brand and how it affects company culture.
That's such an important topic these days. I think everybody is wrestling with how to build stronger, better brands that are more visible, that connect the customers to their enterprise. And yet, so few people are engaging those within the organization that can most impact brand, which in my opinion is the group of leaders in human resources that help to steer internal culture and external experience.
Many think of brand as this external marketing vehicle. We miss that this really sets the tone internally and can be very powerful how we recruit, which is attraction, and how we retain our top talent. The information that Kelly's going to be providing us is going to help us in guiding some of our HR decisions and guiding our communication as we really are focusing on marketing, marketing for this top talent, or recruiting with it for this top talent, which kind of goes back into our last episode, recruiting with the marketing mindset. So Kelly, please tell us a little bit more about how we should be looking at brand as it comes and pertains to company culture.
Sure. So let's step back and think about what a brand is really intended to do. A great brand signals to the consumer that this is an organization they want to do business with. Maybe they want to work for, maybe they want to buy from, maybe they'd like to invest in their stock. In all cases, stronger brands win. And we know this from data. The strongest brand in a category has more pricing power, which means they can get a little bit more money for the same products and services that the other guys have. That's always good. Not surprisingly, that leads to the strongest brand in a category has more profit than their competition. They also have higher stock multiples than their competition because Wall Street is influenced by brands as well. They're looking for strong brands, those that look like they're going to perform over time. And Wall Street also knows that the strongest brand in the category tends to be the most profitable brand, the fastest growing brand. But one more important signal is that the strongest brand in category has the best time recruiting employees, and they have more engaged employees. All of those things come from strong brands, so it's no surprise that CEOs and senior leadership of companies all around the world are trying to make their brands stronger. But here's the challenge. Most of them are trying to do it with marketing alone. They see branding as a slogan, a logo, a new ad campaign, and they miss the fact that brands are actually built on much deeper signals than that. Great brands start by having a clear conviction. If the organization knows who it is, who it best serves, and why its products and services are important to people's lives, to the communities, to the world as a whole, that's a set of convictions that helps to unify the organization. We're all in this together. We're trying to accomplish something significant. And we are doing everything we can to pursue that conviction. And if you have that very clear, very well articulated, inspiring conviction, then the next thing that you want to do is to build a corporate culture that is aligned with that conviction, so that everything we do internally, from how we recognize success to how we hire to the programs that we have and policies to the celebrations and that we have, everything is aligned towards celebrating the pursuit of that conviction. Then that creates a very strong internal culture, one that people want to work for, one that people are engaged in. And then we move externally by connecting the consumer to our products and services and experiences online and offline. And so that customer experience, which isn't marketing, it's about the physical experience. It's literally about walking the walk that you're talking about, making sure that you're delivering, making sure the customer is delighted by the work. That's the next place where we experience brand. And from a consumer point of view, that's the most important thing. Consumers pay attention to what you do far more than they pay attention to what you say. But fortunately, if you started with a clear, inspiring conviction, and you've built an internal culture that's aligned around that, and you're delivering an experience to your customer everywhere they have contact with you that is also aligned with that, then you get to work on your marketing. And marketing, of course, plays an important role in brand. But it only plays an important role when that marketing is aligned with those other things. So if we think about a world where a sense of conviction that guides us, a corporate culture that engages us, and a customer experience that inspires us are the most important attributes to brand, then from my perspective, HR leaders cannot afford to leave branding in the hands of marketing alone. This is really an opportunity for them to rise up and get involved in branding, so that what we say to the outside world about what they can expect when they do business with us aligns with what we do on our inside world.
So understanding that our company's workplace culture and brand are permanently linked is a must. One of the things that I would love for you to kind of clear up for me, and I think you may have already, is kind of the what comes first. Is it workplace culture or is it brand? Or is it really like a chicken and the egg scenario and not meant to be a trick question? But that's where I'm really sitting, because I believe positive culture feeds into a successful, effective brand.
Yes, it does. I think you definitely want to have a positive workforce culture. But I think an understanding of your brand, a clear strategy that's built on informed research about where you shine and where you have the opportunity to lead and why it's all important, it can help you pave the way to a great workforce culture. Because the key with brand is that we don't just want to have a great workforce culture. We want to have a great workforce culture that is specific to where we want to excel in the world and how we want to be seen. So the workforce culture at a company like Apple is wildly innovative, and it supports creativity, even if in some cases there's conflict, because it takes friction to generate creativity. That's led to them being able to deliver products and services that are more creative, better designed, and not surprisingly, everything from the look of their headquarters building to the work habits that they have internally are aimed at encouraging that creativity. But that doesn't mean that's the only kind of brand you can have. If you look at a brand like UPS, they are logistical experts. They work to make their systems streamlined and smoother, to make sure that they're working efficiently and quickly, and to reward those who are able to really go above and beyond in delivering. Now, they've got a great culture and they've got a great brand, but it's not built around creativity. It's built around different attributes. Operational excellence is really a driver for them. And I think that's the key with how brand can contribute to that workforce culture, is helping you understand you don't have to be the best at everything, but you need to know what you want to be the best at.
So where does one start, or where do we begin the process of building an internal culture with our outward brand identity in mind, while at the same time ensuring that the brand and culture complement one another?
Yes, I think the first step is always to know thyself. You know, really understand what we want to do and have consensus. One of the things that can be toxic to both workforce culture and brand is when leadership has different opinions about the direction the company should go in, or when they give mixed signals to employees. They might say the most important thing is delivering a great customer service, but what they're rewarding and incentivizing people on when it comes to bonus time is who hit the numbers. I'm not suggesting you don't need to hit the numbers in every business, but what I'm suggesting is if you tell people that customer experience is your most important thing, well, then you need to make sure you're recognizing those heroes who are delivering that customer experience for their above and beyond work along those lines. So first, you want to make sure that you have leadership aligned around a clear objective. If you've got everybody in the C-suite singing from the same song sheet, knowing that this is how we want to win, this is how we want to succeed, then it makes everything else to come easier. But then you need to work on that workforce culture. And I like to think about how it influences every part of the organization chart. So let's think about that. If we know who we want to be and we want to build a great workforce culture, then we want to make sure that we're hiring people who want to do what we want to do. And obviously, our people are the most important asset in all of this. And it starts with having people who share our values. If we have people who don't share our values, big troubles can arise. Second, we look at, are the products and services we're making the right products and services, and are they as good as they can be based on how we want them to be good? And now, once again, we don't have to be good as good as everyone else in every possible direction. If we go back to the case of Apple, their products and services need to be the most creative, the most easy to use, the most beautiful design. And if they do that, they consistently win. They don't need to be the most affordable. They don't need to be the most powerful. They don't need to be the most technologically advanced. They'll let other companies like HP and Dell win on those platforms, but they know the ones that they want to win on. So product and services. And that starts in your innovation and your development of new products and services, but it also translates to making sure that the products and services you already have are in alignment. Then you look at things like finance and what can finance do to influence your brand? Well, I'll tell you, one of my favorite stories is I was working with a large company in the Philadelphia area that was in the industry of printing periodical publications, magazines that go out once a week. In some cases, they went out once a day. And this company was by far, we found through conducting research, by far the best in their category at on-time delivery of publications. It was significant. What was also significant is within their industry, that had a big economic impact. Because if you're selling magazines, what you're really doing is selling advertising. That's how you make your money. And so an on-time delivery meant that they could sell advertising for another day or two longer and still get that advertising into the publication. So it had an economic impact on their customer. So we knew everything was about being on time, and we helped them to understand that. We actually crafted a slogan for them, "When Every Minute Counts," which helped to galvanize their internal audience around the importance of making sure that they were always on time. But the great thing about this story is after we had launched this new focused brand, I went back a year later to their sales meeting by invitation, and I heard their CFO talk. And he said, you know, a year ago, we committed to this brand, and we all understood that it was our job to actually live the brand, not just talk about it. So I went back to what we were doing in finance, and I learned that on average, it took us 3 days to resolve a customer billing issue. And I'm very happy to report that today, our average billing issue is resolved within 24 hours because every minute counts. Now, Tiffany, how cool is it when the CFO understands that he plays a role in branding?
It is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really interesting because there are heroes within organizations that just rise up when they understand that branding isn't just about what happens in the marketing department. I think what's cool is brand is everybody's job. But because it's everybody's job, it's sort of more HR's job than anyone else, because human resources, the chief people officers, these are individuals whose job it is to build a great culture. You know, at my company, which is Brand Federation, and we're a company that does research in terms of internal culture and external market research, and then we develop brand strategies for companies all around the world. One of the things that I always remind our team as CEO is that people do their best work when they can live their best lives, and it's important to us to create an environment where they feel like they can do both. They can do their best work, they can live their best life, and they're supported by a company that really does care about them. By doing that, we not only create a wonderful environment where we have mutual respect and where we do our very best work, working hard on the behalf of our clients, but doing it in a supportive environment. But we also have the opportunity to hire the best talent in our field, because they know we have a reputation for treating people exceptionally well.
You answered my next question, and that was going to be, what distinguishes a good corporate culture from a bad one in the eyes of the employees? But you nailed it. One in which allows the employees to do their best work, live their best life, and one in which they feel supported.
Absolutely. You know, every now and then I see a company out there, they're working their employees too hard. They're giving them mixed signals and mixed direction. They have bullies in leadership, but they haven't addressed that bullying or that toxic environment. There are a number of different things that can signal to an employee that leadership isn't listening, or even worse, they are listening and they're not going to do anything about it. And that's when you have that kind of an environment, you're going to turn over your employees quickly. You're not going to get the best and brightest. And it ends up being a significant problem in all aspects of the business. And yet it's not that hard to start to turn those things around, to stand for having a great environment, to make sure that all of your people respect those that they work with. If you do that, you can cure even a toxic culture relatively quickly, but it does take intentional, committed action.
Thank you so much for this wealth of information. Before we let you go, can you let us know, where can we see you? Where can we hear more from you?
Absolutely. Well, please go to our website at www.brandfederation.com, and you'll find lots of useful information there. You'll find our own little video cast, which we call Beer and Brands, and you can find great information about our company and our culture.
Thank you. I'll make sure that we add this information to our episode notes. So thank you again. This has been an honor. We look forward to continuing this conversation down the road and maybe at one of our upcoming events. So thank you so much.
It's always fun to be able to talk about things that I love and things that you love and how we can build great companies together.
Thanks for listening to the Richmond Sherm Voices podcast with Tiffany Fortune. If you like our show and want to know more, subscribe or check out Richmond Sherm website at richmondsherm.org.